Almighty God, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come into your presence. Lord, we ask that you are going to wash us with your word this morning and leave us blessed in Jesus' name. Touch our lives and Lord, reinvigorate us, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray by reason of your presence here this morning that we will all go home blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please, I would just like to say to the ushers, let's try and keep that door, the outer door, closed because of the air conditioner. The forecast is that it's going to be fairly warm outside. So if we can keep the air conditions protected by keeping the door closed, we'll be able to preserve the coolness. So that is very important today. So please remember, we have kids here, we have children here. So if we can keep the door shut, we'll be able to keep them cool. So please, we may need to, from time to time, just check that door. As you know, our children will want to go out, they will open the door and things like that. Okay. We are looking at God, the Holy Spirit, His personhood. We are looking at His work and titles. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit we looked at Him for 2 weeks prior to today. And we talked about His nature. We talked about the kind of relationship He had with people in the Old Testament. And we talked about the kind of relationship that He's supposed to have with us and should have with us in this dispensation. We talked about the quality He possesses. We talked about how He can be grieved or provoked. So we'll go further on His works and some of His names. As we have often said in the church, in the kingdom of God, there is no room for idleness. That is why I always encourage us, when we come to church like this, we must get ourselves engaged and involved. God the Father is always busy. Read the Bible very well. Jesus said, "My Father works. My Father works." And so He too works. So Jesus works. And the Holy Spirit works. He has duties. So God expects us to keep busy too for God. In fact, God is so busy that He neither sleeps nor slumber. So we'll look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. And the other thing that I want us to know about what the Holy Spirit does, it's not only that He keeps busy. When the Holy Spirit works, how does the Holy Spirit work? He works through people. He works through people. So, when we say the Holy Spirit works, He works through people, and He works on people, and He works in people. So, if the Holy Spirit is busy, it means people have to be busy, because He's going to be working in them, through them, and in them, and on them. Praise the Lord. So when you look at some of the works of the Holy Spirit, you will know some of the things you are supposed to be busy doing, because he will be making you to do them in Jesus' name. The first thing about the Holy Spirit, this you may not be involved with. In fact, you can be involved with this one. Is that the Holy Spirit has always been from the beginning. So he was involved in creation. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit was involved in what? In creation. And then you are going to ask me, how can I be involved in creation? Can we be involved in creation? The Bible says God called those things that be not as though they were. And I'm going to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit walking inside of you will create circumstances and situations where God will be glorified. Somebody say amen to that. I know that for sure. Let me give you a few examples of people who had the Holy Spirit with them. And things were created. Circumstances were created as a result of the presence of the Holy Spirit with them. Can we remember Elisha? After Elisha got a double portion of the anointing, cross River Jordan, how many of us remember what happened to him? Okay, you can't remember. There were 42 children, 42 young people. Do you remember that story? Okay, maybe we are Bible student. As Elisha was coming, he had received a double portion of the anointing. He had come back. There were 42 young people. When they saw Elisha, they did something. How many of us remember? They started mocking him. What did they say? Because his head was bald. They said, bald head, go home. Bald head, go home. Bald head, go home. They started making fun of him. And what happened? He spoke. What happened? When he caused them, what happened? Bears came out. Bears just came out from nowhere. Supernaturally created bears and consumed them. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Supernaturally. What about Paul and Silas? When they were in jail, bound hands and feet, what happened? And they started praising God. The Holy Spirit came down. What happened? The captives were set free. It was not just them. Everyone that was in that place was set free, to the extent that the people who were supposed to be guards were afraid. And then they told them, look, we are safe, we are here, we haven't gone. That is the Holy Spirit for you. Supernatural creation. The implication of that is that when you carry the Holy Spirit in your life and you are undergoing a lack, for your sake, God will create something. Praise the Lord. I'm not just saying it. I've said it over and over again. When I finished my fellowship in Australia, some people told me that I can never get a job in Western Australia. They said because the government is not employing people anymore. In fact, I was advised to go to New Zealand to look for a job. The person who told me, who said that to me, I replied the person and I said to the person, I said, look, a lot of people are coming from New Zealand to stay in Australia because Australia is supposed to be better than New Zealand. I said, and God has reserved the best for his children, for me. I said, therefore, I'm not going to leave to go to New Zealand to look for a job. And I said to that person, I said, the Lord who has sent me this far, my wife can be a witness. I said, that God, I said, if there's no position, they will create a position for me. And truly, truly, I was given 6 months contract to work in a hospital. I was just about a month there when somebody called me and said, do I want a job, long time job? I said, I don't mind. They said they've created a position for me to come to. There was no position there, and I will tell you from now till tomorrow, it's there. They created a position for me to come and take that job. The Holy Spirit creates. The Holy Spirit in you will create and make a way for you in Jesus' name. Look at Genesis 1:26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Of course, everything that the Holy Spirit created, he gave man dominion over. And if he is in you, you will have dominion in Jesus' name. Of course, the Holy Spirit was not absent when redemption, salvation, transformation, and glorification was planned. And he's still in the business of executing this. As a pastor, I can only preach. But the Spirit is the one who can convict and convince somebody. All we can do is say what God has sent us to say. But it is in the power of the Holy Spirit to cause there to be a change. So no man can change any man. But the Holy Spirit has that power. It's within his power to do it. And he will do it in your life in Jesus' name. It's the Holy Spirit that imparts love. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. When the Holy Spirit imparts love into you, and this is how you will know that you love God. When you know, this is the way you know you love God, when the Holy Spirit has imparted the love of God into your life, something will begin to happen in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14. I'll read. It said, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. Praise the Lord. So the love of Christ controls, impels. So when the Holy Spirit is in you, what happens? The love of Christ will begin to control you. How do you know that the love of Christ is controlling you? How do we know when the love of Christ is controlling us? Praise God. You are ready to do his will. You are ready to do the will of that person. I'm sure many of us, husband and wives, you understand what I mean. You don't want to go home to meet your wife grumpy or your husband grumpy, because home will not be the same that day. Am I right? You know what I mean now. If your wife is not happy with you or your husband is not happy with you, home will just not be the same that day. You want things settled, because you know once peace, you know, once the other person is happy, peace returns. So what do I mean by that? In the same way, when we have love for God, we don't want to see God displeased with us. When we don't do the will of God, we lose joy. Isn't it? Good. So when we are not at peace with God, we will lose joy. When you see somebody who is not doing the will of God and they are confident and they are joyful, then they don't have the Spirit of God. Why? Because The Bible says that the Spirit of God, he said, when the Comforter shall come, what will he do? He will rebuke the world of sin. He will rebuke the world, you know, he will remind the world of righteousness. He is a witness. He will witness to you. When you are doing the right thing, he will tell you when you are, because he said, the Spirit of God beareth witness with that Spirit that we are the children of God. You will know. When somebody gets to a point like that, that they don't care anymore, then you know that they don't really have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will never leave you in Jesus' name. So when it constrains you, it makes you do what you don't want to do. But you do it because of Jesus. Things you don't want to do, you will do it because of Jesus. Because it says it controls you. Impels you. You know what it impels? It makes it compulsory for you. It makes you do it because you love him. Praise God. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts allows us to be able to love the brethren. As I told us the other time, that love, God's own kind of love, is a decision that you have to take. And that once that love is shed abroad in your heart, it makes it possible for us to love the brethren, you know, irrespective of who they are, irrespective of who we are. And I want to let you know that if you put all of us together this morning, there is no two people that are the same in the house. No way. No, in fact, if care is not taken, you will agree with me that almost on every issue you have a different opinion, right? But why don't we tear each other apart? It's because you are controlled. You say, how much does it matter? Okay, it's better we do it that way. Fine, thank God for that. Praise the Lord, so that God will be glorified. The love of God controls us. He will continue to control you in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit inspires hope. Let's quickly look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. The Holy Spirit inspires hope. Amen. So if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we will remain hopeful. And I'm telling you, because there's something that goes with hope. What's the other thing that goes with hope? Joy goes with hope. You know, when you have hope, have you ever seen somebody who is hopeless? I have seen people who are hopeless. When somebody loses hope, joy flies out of the window. And what are the other things that will fly out of the window when hope is lost and joy is lost? What else? Faith disappears. Faith disappears. And of course, when you lose your joy, you lose your strength, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when you are hopeless, joyless, faithless, the enemy will just do what he wants to do. And I've said this over and over and over and over again, that our Christianity is not for the good times. Everybody, whether you are a Christian or non-Christian, you can survive the good times. Praise God. Our Christianity is for the bad times. That is what makes us different from every other person. He said, I think, was it Peter or Paul who was saying, and if anyone will ask me, I will tell them of this hope that I have. That hope. That is what makes you different from anyone else. Everybody is made for the good times. Good times. We all survive the good times. A state of equilibrium. Everything is working well. But the Holy Spirit will make a difference in the time of trouble, so that you have hope. You become your anchor in Jesus' name. He inspires hope. He inspires hope. He tells you, you are a child of God. This situation can be turned around. You are a child of God. This sickness is not unto death. You are a child of God. This is not your end. You are a child of God. This is not a full stop in your life. This is just a comma. You are a child of God. You have not reached the end of the road. You have to turn right. You are a child of God. Look, let me tell you, oh, it's so wonderful to have the Holy Spirit minister to you. Praise the Lord. We talked about him comforting people. That's when he comforts you. That's when you have hope. And I just thank God when I had this money that the churches in Christ Church CBD opened and there was service. People went for service this morning. And I just said, thank God. You know, thank God. Because irrespective of what the enemy may throw at you, you can't stop. I say you cannot stop. You cannot stop in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit gives liberty. Okay, the second part, the titles of the Holy Spirit we'll do next week. So we'll just take time to finish this. The Holy Spirit gives liberty. Spirit also gives liberty. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. People misunderstand the liberty we are talking about here a lot of times. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Who is the Spirit? Who is the Spirit? Praise the Lord. Who is the Word? Who is the Word? Is the Lord, yes. He is the Word. He is also the Spirit. So because we've been establishing for some time that the Spirit and the Word, they are the same. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So if you say the Spirit of God controls you, but the Word of God doesn't control you, then you are not being controlled by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and God, they are the same. So now you are hearing this morning, and we know that in the Word was God. Mm? And the Word was with God. Mm? And nothing was created without him creating them. Praise the Lord. That Jesus is the Word, and the Word is the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, verse 17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That is emancipation from bondage, freedom. Now, let me explain this thing to you. At the time that Paul was writing this, were there people who were in slavery? Were there people who were slaves physically? Yes, there were people who were slaves. Can we give an example of one who we could say like a slave at the time Paul was writing? Bible student, chocolate for you. One person that you could say that was like a slave at the time Paul was doing this writing, just to let you know that it's not physical emancipation, it's a spiritual emancipation. One person that you could say was probably like a slave at that time. Bible students in the house, praise the Lord. Eh? There is one man. His name is Philemon. Philemon. Right? Go and read Philemon very well. You remember what Paul wrote about him. He was like a servant. You know, I mean. It's not. The book was written to Philemon, but Philemon's servant. Okay, was a slave, sorry. Philemon's servant was like a slave to him who had done something wrong at that time. And Paul now said, look, he used to be useful to you. Now he can even be more useful. So there were people who were actually physical slaves, who were servants at that time. So it's not just physical freedom, praise the Lord. Even though God desired that we are physically free. But God wants to set people free spiritually, so that they are no longer under the bondage of sin and flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, the name of that guy is Onesimus. Onesimus. Praise the Lord. Onesimus, yes, I remember now. Am I getting old? Praise God. Onesimus is the guy. You know? So, He was like a slave to Philemon. But then, this book was written at that time too. So, it's not just physical emancipation, it's a spiritual emancipation that sets you free from the power of sin and death. Do you know that, I think I've shared with us before, do you know that some people are afraid of death? Do you know that some people are afraid of getting old? I'm telling you, I had this man that I was treating. He will not have anything to do with his grandchildren. He would not have, because they were reminders that he was getting old. Oh yes, there's a branch of psychology or psychotherapy that is called existentialism. It has to do with existential issues, existence, you know, birth, death, growing, aging, all these things. So there are people who are so paralyzed by fear. Is it not fear of getting old that makes us to go and do up our faces so we draw it very well? No, it is. These are existential issues. Even though the Bible says you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise the Lord. It's also fear of getting old. Maybe I'll stop there. That makes us do tummy talk. Praise the Lord. So there are fears, whether we like it or not. There are fears. You may not want to recognize it as that, but do you know, whether you choose to do tummy talk, face talk, head talk, the biological clock will still keep going. Praise the Lord. People may see something different outside, but inside you will still be who you are. We need Jesus. Somebody say, we need Jesus. Praise the Lord. So it's the Spirit of God that liberates you from all these fears. It's the Spirit of God. You go out and people are asking, why is he even so happy? When they look at your circumstance, are you excited? It's because the Spirit of God has set you free. Do you know that the Spirit of God, not only in provision, because look, you may have a lot, you may have plenty of money, and you will not have peace. You'll be in financial bondage, even though you have lots of money. Is that not possible? Because you will wake up thinking money. You will sleep thinking money. You will go out thinking money. You will come in thinking money. You are preoccupied with it. It's all that you can think of. It's all that you live for. It's all, and you become a slave to money. There are a lot of people who are slaves to money. And I'm telling you, they are not at liberty at all. These are the kind of things that God, the Spirit of God, can set you free from. Money should be your errand agent. Praise the Lord. To say, go and do this for me. Because the Bible says money does what? It answers. So somebody has to speak to money. Somebody has to command money. Money answereth all things. It will do what you ask it to do. But if you don't send your money on errand, it will never do anything for you. You may live. I was reading the story of the immediate past president of Tunisia, the guy who was deposed. How many of us read the story? When they went into the palace and they got there, what did you see? What did they see? You didn't read it. You'd be reading news, because everything about, you know, that happened around ministers to me. They check all the chairs that were there. Somebody has opened them, packed them with dollars, foreign currency, trinkets. I'm telling you, chairs, all the things, the windows, everything, money has been stuffed into it. Some people are slaves to money. The Spirit of God will liberate you in Jesus' name. Anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in your life, the Lord will set you free. That's why if some people will become broke now, don't go near them. Oh, don't just go near them when they are broke, because what's going to happen? That's it. Because money. But once they are sure that there is money in account, then they can sleep well. Tell your neighbor, your sleeping does not depend on how much money you have. Praise the Lord. Let us close here. Let's rise up and just pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. There is no God like you. Oh, please, let's rise up. Let's rise up. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to thank God this morning and say thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to set me free. The Holy Spirit has come to bless me. The Holy Spirit has come to empower me. Oh, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of your Spirit in my life. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for... because you have set me free, you have set me at liberty. Therefore, my joy does not depend upon the things I see, upon the things I hear. My joy does not depend upon the circumstances around me. Ah, I bless you this morning. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I bless you. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.